I presume we're using the hymn sheet. Somebody have a hymn we want to start with? Any of the children? Number 32. Someone start that, please. Number 32. Another one. 46. This meeting today, this morning, is primarily for you boys and girls. So this is a great song too, isn't it? The first one we started with talks about the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to talk about that today, Lord willing. And now we would just like to tell the older folks that are here that they can listen too. But it's really for all of us that we're here, but especially for you children. You know, most of you have been brought here by maybe your parents or your grandparents. And their purpose in having you come today is to hear about the Lord Jesus and how He died for you. And if you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you've never believed that when He died on the cross, He died for you, then you need to do that right now. Because that's why you're here, to hear about how the Lord Jesus gave His life for you on the cross and how He suffered for you. So let's pray, and then we're going to have a couple more songs, and then we'll have the memory verse, and then we'll have a little story, and then some verses, okay? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee that we can be here together. We thank Thee for these hymns that tell us the good news of how Jesus gave Himself, how His blood was shed on the cross, and how His blood can wash away all our sins. We thank Thee for each boy and girl that's here. And we thank Thee for the older ones too. And we just pray that each one of us may be trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. If there's somebody here today, Lord Jesus, who is not saved yet, we pray that when they're sitting there, right in their chair, that they might open their heart to Thee, Lord Jesus, and accept Thee as their Savior too. And we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to open Thy Word in this country. And for our brethren here that have invited us, we thank Thee for this nice time together. And we give thanks and ask for Thy help, Lord Jesus, in Thy name. Amen. So let's have a couple more songs. Tommy, number one. You're probably thinking of number one in the other book, but the kids' book. But we'll sing this number one because it's a good one too. Number one. Someone start it, please. For this week, we actually have a little bit about preaching in that verse. That's what we're doing this morning. We're talking about the Lord Jesus publicly. And this verse here talks about almost persuaded. There was a man who, the Apostle Paul, who was a great evangelist, he told him the gospel. And he almost believed the gospel. Almost. But almost isn't good enough. We have to believe for ourselves. We have to accept the Lord Jesus ourselves. We can't say, well, I'm almost ready to be a Christian. That almost isn't good enough. We have to be one. Okay, another one. Another song. Anybody? This little girl here.
42.
42? Thank you. 42. A little child of death. A request made by a few of the children here that they wanted to say the verse. So who would like to say it? Okay, Samuel.
1 Corinthians 1:8-10. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:8-10. Unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishly, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Anybody else? Thank you, boys. Anyone else?
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Thank you. Anybody else?
1 Corinthians 1:18. The power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Thank you.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto God, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Very good. Anybody else? Older people can say it too. Okay. Thank you for that, children. It's a wonderful treasure, isn't it, to put the Word of God right in our hearts. We read that in the Word. He wants us to treasure it up in our souls. And then when we need it, we have it. If we never have it in our minds and we never read it, then we won't remember it later on when we need it. I want to tell you a little story, boys and girls, about the cross. Whenever I go on a trip, I'm driving along the road, I always look for crosses. And today, the day before yesterday when we came, I saw a new one on the side of the road. Just off a little bit from the side, and it was a white one. And there was something special about this cross. It was made out of a kind of wood that was kind of like trim almost. It was kind of curving a little bit. And then the piece that went across like this, it was kind of curved too, and it looked so neat. But who can tell me why that cross is probably at the side of the road? Samuel.
Because someone died there in an accident. Because someone died there in an accident.
That's true. That's probably why it's there. And I don't know how many of you boys and girls look for little crosses at the side of the road. But if you drive from here to where I live up in Ontario, you'll see a whole bunch of them along the side of the road. There's not lots, but there's a few. Here and there, there's little crosses. And usually, it marks the place where someone died in a car accident. Right near where we live, There's a place where there's three of them. Three of them together. There's one big cross that's about this high, and then there's two little ones. Now, who can tell me what the little ones would talk about? What do you think, Tom? Let me come and you can tell everybody.
The crooks?
No, not this time, but we had that this morning, didn't we, in our little reading. We had the two people on each side of the Lord Jesus and why they were dying there. Anyone else know why there'd be little... This fellow over here, Evan?
Children.
That's right. They probably were children. And what about the big cross? What do you think, Stephen?
Four.
Well, in that story Tom was talking about, it was the Lord that died in the center cross. But the one I was talking about where there was the two little crosses and then the bigger cross and then on the side of the road, it was probably a parent, perhaps a mom or a dad, and maybe a boy and a girl, or two boys or two girls, we don't know. But three people would have died there in a car accident. And that's really sad, isn't it? So when we drive along the road and we see a cross, we think, oh boy, somebody died here. And you know, on a nice sunny day like we have today, we usually don't think about too many accidents on the side of the road, but you know, they do happen in the summer, but especially in the wintertime when it's slippery. And we came across a bridge on our way here and it said, watch out for the ice. And I said to my wife, no ice today. But you know, there's ice in the winter times, and sometimes bad things happen. Accidents happen. And so sometimes little children are called to leave this world. You know, there's some kids who think, you know, I don't need to get saved yet because I have lots of time. I can wait till I get a little bit older. I'll put it off. But you know, that's not a good thing to do. Because if on your way home, something happens, a wheel comes off your car or a truck runs over top of your car, you might be gone. And if you'd have put it off, then you wouldn't be saved. And so the Lord Jesus, He wants you to come to Him now. And that's why we have Sunday school, so we won't put it off. I have another question. How come people put a little cross in the ground? Why is it a cross? Does anyone have an idea why it's a cross? Maybe I should tell you. Oh, this little boy. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died on a cross. So when we think of a cross, we think of people dying, don't we? Because of that. So it's a little emblem or a sign of somebody dying. So it makes us think of the cross of the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So we had in our verse, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, there's a lot of people who think that being a Christian and accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior is kind of foolish. It's not very smart. You know what? Those people that think that, they're the ones that aren't very smart. They're the ones that aren't prepared. We had that yesterday in the gospel meeting, didn't we? There's that verse that says, prepare to meet thy God. And being prepared means that we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that we believe that when He died on the cross, He died for us. So I want to speak just for a few minutes about some of the things that the Lord Jesus said when He was dying on the cross. Because the things that the Lord Jesus said actually were wonderful. The things that He said were wonderful when He was dying on the cross. And you know, the Bible tells us seven things that the Lord Jesus said. Seven things. We may not talk about all of them, but I want you to remember there were seven things. And you know, the first thing that He said was about you. You know that? And it was about me. So the Lord Jesus was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me when he was dying on the cross. So let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. So we're going to talk a little bit about what the Lord Jesus said when he was dying on the cross. And we know that the Lord Jesus went to the cross because he loved us. But these verses that I'm going to read really prove what I said, that he did go to the cross because he loved us. So verse 34 says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So I said that the Lord Jesus was talking about you and thinking about you and thinking about me. So the first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them." Who's the them? The them is me, and it's you, and it's the people who put him on the cross. It was the religious authorities who wanted him to die. It was those soldiers that pounded the nails through his feet and through his hands. It's really something, isn't it, to think about? You know, this week, or last week, I was working and I cut my hand really bad, right on my hand right here. And the blood was all running down my hand like this. And all the guys that worked for me were like, "Oh!" You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about when they pounded those big nails through the hands of the Lord Jesus. And then they pounded them through his feet. I was thinking of the blood and how much it hurt. And I was thinking of why the Lord Jesus allowed those men to do that to him. It was because he loved them. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross because he loved me. Because he wanted to pay for my sins on the cross. And if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then he'll pay for yours too. And then you can love him too like I do. And the people that brought you here to the conference, they love him too. That's why they brought you, because they want you to love him as well. So the Lord Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." We were talking about forgiveness this morning. If somebody does something bad to you, you can get really cross at them and say, "Oh boy, I'll get them back." Or you can be like the Lord Jesus and say, "I'm really sorry that that happened, but I don't hold that against them." You know, we can feel sorry for people that do mean things to us. We don't have to get back at them. We can forgive them. And the Lord Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Now, when he said Father, what did he mean? He meant God. He asked his Father to forgive sinners like me and like you. Have you asked the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you asked him to be your Savior? You know, right now is a very good time to do it, if you haven't already. Now, the Lord Jesus, he had a mother. And if we turn over to the book of John, chapter 19, the Lord Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he even thought about other people. He thought about us to save us, but he thought about people that were there, standing at the cross watching him suffer. And one of the people that was there was his very own mother, Mary. She was there at the cross, at the bottom of the cross where the Lord Jesus was hanging there. Not just for me, but for her, for Mary. So let's read what he said to Mary in John 19. Verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And so the Lord Jesus, he got John, who perhaps was the closest to him in some ways because he laid on his bosom, we read. He got the Apostle John to take care of his mother. You know, the Lord Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. And as the oldest son, his responsibility was to take care of his mother. And so he did. This is a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus did. He cared for his mother. You know, sometimes when we get hurt, we just think about us and how much it hurt. Oh, that splinter in my hand, I got to get it out. Oh. But we forget about other people that may be hurt too or maybe have needs. The Lord Jesus, he had nails here and here and through his feet. And he was hanging on a cross in the sun. He was suffering. But he thought of his mother. Who would take care of her? So he asked the disciple John to do so. And I'm sure John was happy to do it. Now if we turn back to the book of Luke, we read in some of the Gospels that there was a man on each side of the Lord Jesus. On another cross. Each one on a cross on either side of the Lord Jesus. And it says the Lord Jesus was in the middle. And we talked about that this morning and we realized that maybe those soldiers and the religious leaders who didn't love the Lord Jesus and wanted to get rid of him, maybe they put the Lord Jesus on the center cross to make him look maybe even worse than the other two thieves that were being crucified on each side of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a sad thing? So it says that in verse 39 of chapter 24, or 23, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So here we have the scene. The Lord Jesus is in the center cross. There's a cross on each side of him, and there's a bad thief on each side. These men had stolen something, and the crime, they had committed a crime, they'd done what was wrong, and the law said, if you steal, then you're going to die on a cross. They were really bad criminals. And you know, when the Lord Jesus was first hung on the cross, they were like all the other people that were there, the Jewish leaders. They were saying, oh, if you're so good, then you get down from the cross, Jesus. Then you just come down. And so one of the thieves, he said terrible things to the Lord Jesus too. Actually, both of them did at first. But then one of the thieves, I'm sure, that he kind of watched what was happening. He could see the Lord Jesus, how he took care of his mother, how he could say to God, Father, forgive them. And you know, these thieves, they wanted to get off the cross. They didn't want to die. They didn't want to suffer. But that one thief, he thought, wow, here's a man that's dying on a cross, and he's thinking about other people, and he's asking for forgiveness on his enemies? Wow, that's amazing. You know, I like that man. And so he turned to the Lord Jesus. He defended him to the other thief. And then he turned to the Lord Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me. Now remember me means don't forget me. Don't forget me. And it says, when thou comest into thy kingdom, that means that that thief, he really believed that Jesus was a king. And that someday Jesus was going to have a kingdom, and he wanted to be part of it. And for those of us who love the Lord Jesus, we can look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus is going to be the king. And we're going to reign with him in that day. Now the Lord Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me." What a comfort to that man. That man was leaving this world. And he could leave with the assurance that Jesus said, "You'll be with me." Now, you know, sometimes we go to a retirement home at home. There's some very old people. And sometimes they don't know where they're going when they leave this world. Boys and girls, do you know where you're going? Can every boy and girl here say, "I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus, and so when I leave this world, I'm going to go to heaven to be with Him"? I hope each one of us can say that. But if you're not sure that the Lord Jesus is your Savior, you can be sure today. Right now, you can, just where you are in your chair, you can say, "Lord Jesus, please wash away my sins. Please become my Savior." You can do that right now. Please do if you haven't already. Now let's turn to the book of Matthew for another verse. The first one we said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the middle thing, the fourth thing that Jesus said when he was on the cross. We read it in a couple of the Gospels, but we'll read it in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Now the verse before will back up. "From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Children, I was thinking about this yesterday when there was some very faithful words said concerning my life and how I would live it for the Lord Jesus. What will give me the desire to live for the Lord Jesus in this world? What will? You know, I think that if I really can see the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for me and suffering for me and being punished for me, then when things come up in my life where I have to decide what to do, that will help me to decide to do what's right to please Him. When I think of how much He had to be punished, how much He suffered for me, then there'll be a response in my heart to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to try to do what's right to please Thee because of what He did for me." We read about those hours of darkness, 3 hours when no one could see what was happening. And in those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus was punished by God for the sins of each person like me who has asked for forgiveness. The Lord Jesus was punished by God. Now notice it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God had to turn His back away from the Lord Jesus in those 3 hours of punishment. The strokes of God's wrath came on the head of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say Father here, it says God. God laid the punishment on His Son for my sins. Every one of my sins. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, let's go on to the next one. And we'll go to the book of Luke again, 23rd. Well, it's actually John. We'll go to John 19. Verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, 'I thirst.' Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth." So this is the fifth thing that Jesus said. He said, I thirst. You know, on a hot day like this, we need to drink a lot of water, don't we? Or juice or something. Keep the water in our system because we're made up a lot of water and we need that. Or we get dehydrated and then we don't feel good. We get a headache and we start feeling terrible. Well, the Lord Jesus, He had been beat up by the soldiers and by the crowd all night. And then He had been mocked. And then He had had to stand before Herod and Pilate. And then He had had to carry His cross to that hill of Calvary. And then He had to suffer in the sun and the heat for 3 hours while people like me said terrible things to Him. Said, if you're really the Son of God, then come down from the cross and we'll believe. And the thieves we talked about, they said that too at first, one of them. And then it was dark for 3 hours. And we saw how that the Lord Jesus was punished for the sins of each person that would trust in Him. Well, then He was thirsty. He was thirsty. And what did they give Him to drink? They gave Him vinegar to drink. Now, if you were all beat up and your mouth was bleeding and you were in trouble and you were very hot and you'd suffered, now, none of us can understand this. We've never hung on a cross for hours on end. But the Lord Jesus said, I thirst. He wanted something to drink. And in the Old Testament it says that the suffering Savior, the Messiah, would be given vinegar to drink when He was suffering. And this is what they gave Him to drink. They gave Him vinegar to drink. Now vinegar is an acid. And when you put that on a cut, on cut lips, that would just hurt so bad. Not only that, but when you're dehydrated, you need water. You don't need acid. It makes it worse. These people hated the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask this question. Is there somebody here today and you hate the Lord Jesus too? I hope every one of us loves the Lord Jesus. And when we hear them going to give Him vinegar to drink, we think, oh, why did they do that to my Lord? To the one I love, why did they do that? But the Lord Jesus, He suffered because of me. Because He loved me and because He loved you. That's why He suffered. When Jesus, this is the sixth thing now, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. What does it mean, it is finished? Well, I think it means that the punishment from a holy God for sin and for sins was finished. He had exhausted the punishment that I deserved. And when I read that verse, it is finished, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. You know that? I know that when Jesus died there, He died for the sins of each person that would trust in Him, and He finished the work. He was fully punished for those sins. Each one was paid for. And so when I read that verse, I am so thankful. Because that work that God gave the Lord Jesus to do is done. I know that my sins are paid for. I know that I'm on my way to glory, to heaven. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Now there's a little bit of more that we read in the book of Luke that He said just before He bowed His head. So we started with, Father, forgive them. In the middle we had, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And now we have Father again. So Luke chapter 23. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, we just read that, He said, it is finished in John. Then He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. So He says to His Father, The work is done. And the Lord Jesus bowed his head in death. He died. What happened next? What happened next was the Jews, they didn't want those three men to be on the cross on the holy day. So they went to Pilate and they said, Pilate, can we break the legs of those thieves and have them die right away? Because they couldn't push up on the cross to breathe anymore if their legs were broken. So Pilate said, sure, no problem. So the soldiers, they came with their big axes. Bam! Broke the legs of the first man. The first thief, that was the end of him. He couldn't breathe anymore. He died. Then they walked around the cross of the Lord Jesus and they went to the next cross on the other side and they broke, bang, the legs of the other thief. And he died too. Then that soldier came to the Lord Jesus and he saw that he wasn't breathing. He'd already died. He gave his spirit back to God. He had said it is finished. The work was over. And instead of taking his big axe and breaking the legs of the Lord Jesus, he was already dead. So what did he do? He pulled out his big spear. He went right into the side of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us that out of the side of the Lord Jesus came blood and water. And I just quoted that verse. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And boys and girls, that is the way to have your sins forgiven. To believe that when that blood came out of the side of the Lord Jesus, that He shed it for you, and ask Him to wash your sins away in His precious, precious blood. Well, let's just pray. Our loving God and our Father, how thankful we are that we could read these few verses that would tell us about the cross. And as we've had some opportunity today to preach of the cross, we thank Thee for it. We thank Thee for the work that Thou didst do first for God on the cross and then for us. We think of that load of sin that Thou didst bear. Each one of our sins was laid upon Thee, Lord Jesus. Each one of our sins of those who believe. We pray if there's a boy or a girl or a young person or older one here today who has never had their sins forgiven, who has never come as a sinner and asked to have their sins washed away in Thy precious blood, that they may do so right now. Lord Jesus, we love Thee so much for taking our load of sin, for suffering in our place. And as we see Thee hanging there for us, Lord Jesus, we pray that this will give us a desire to live for Thee. And so we give Thee our thanks and our praise this morning. And we pray that Thou just open our hearts in praise and worship to Thee. We give Thee our thanks, Lord Jesus, in Thy name. Amen.